Chapter 2, I want to invite you to turn your attention to verse 6, Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. We're going to read just a few verses together this morning. And the Word of God says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Let's pray together. Father, again, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have together. We pray that you would bless your word this morning, that it will accomplish its purposes in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, Father, for anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that today they would simply trust in Jesus, who is the only Savior. And Father, for those who are saved, help us just to walk with you day by day, to be real followers of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll get glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We just sang the song, and in the song, if you didn't know it, you sang a little Latin this morning. Gloria in excelsis Deo. It's glory to God in the highest. It's the same message that the angels sang praise to the Lord and in the announcement of his birth. I want to read back to you something you heard in the program. It's part of what you got if you read the back of your invitation that brought you here today. It says, "Then suddenly the silence is over. The word brings good news again, a reassurance that the promise and the people are not forgotten." You see, the Old Testament promises all the way from Abraham, all the way through, God had given and preserved through his word. The Old Testament law and the prophets and the poetry, all of those things, the law and the writings and the prophets, it was all there, all given. But from the end of the Old Testament to the Lord beginning to work again and what we read as our New Testament today, there was a period of silence for about 400 years. No new revelations, no new prophecies. Nothing had happened for about 400 years of silence. Now, we have a hard time imagining a time period like that. That's about half the time of the life of the United States of America, about half the time of our life as a nation. So, I mean, double that. So, for 400 years, there's been silence. For 400 years, there's been darkness. They had the prophets. They had the law. They had those promises that were given. But I think a lot of people had lost hope, just like I think a lot of people in America have lost hope these days. Amen. There was a time of darkness, a time of difficulty. Remember, Israel is under Roman control. The Romans have come in. They've taken over everything. And though they have some semblance of freedom, they get to go about their business. They get to continue to worship at the temple however they want to. They get to do pretty much anything as long as the Romans are okay with it. But anytime the Romans aren't okay with it, they can't do anything. So they're really in this weird state of they've got a little bit of freedom, but they're under the control of the Romans. And so it's a time of darkness, a time of difficulty, a time of bondage for the people. Amen. And that's when the reassurance comes that the promise and the people are not forgotten. It said the Savior will soon be born, the very Son of God himself. He will redeem mankind from their sin. He will save his people from their desperate striving, their futile living, and ultimate eternal destruction. He will make it possible for each person to experience abundant life, not merely a struggling through of each day, but living each one with wide-eyed anticipation. I want you to understand that that's, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's what you have. You not only have forgiveness of sin, you not only have a home in heaven, but you have a purpose for living today. You have a way to live your life that's not futile, it's not without purpose or meaning, but when we live for Jesus, our lives are valuable, they're worthwhile, and we have an eternal impact because we have an eternal perspective. We live each day looking for the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. I want to share with you just a few things this morning about that. The silence was broken first as a certain priest was serving. An angel of the Lord came to him with a great message. And the angel tells him in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." The silence was broken by an angel who brought a message to Zacharias the priest while he's serving, and his prayer was answered as he had prayed for a child. He had prayed for a son. The angel said, "Your prayer is heard, your prayer is answered." And it had been a long time that he'd been praying that prayer, a long time that he had maybe in his heart, in his flesh, in his mind, he had many times wondered and many times didn't have the hope that he ought to have, but he had enough hope and he had enough faith that he was still calling out to God. And I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe there's some things you've been praying about for a long time, and I've heard some people sometimes that I meet in our community who've turned away from God and they've been embittered against God, and they'll tell me, they say, "Well, I prayed for something one time and God didn't hear me." Well, I'm going to encourage you that if you look in the Word of God, a lot of people prayed more than once, more than twice, more than 1 month, more than 1 year. For many decades they prayed, but God is always faithful. And he doesn't always answer your prayers the way you want him to. He doesn't always answer your prayers when you want him to. But he always answers prayers on his time. Amen. And according to his purposes. Amen. And his ways are better than our ways. God's working in your life. You can have hope today. So the announcement came to him that John was going to come and that he would prepare the way for Messiah. That he would make a way. He would straighten up the paths and he would do a work in Israel to prepare the way for Messiah to come. The next announcement came to a young virgin named Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. In Luke 1 and verse 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." That means that God's grace was on her life. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So this young virgin named Mary, the prophecy would be fulfilled from the Old Testament that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, that he would be God with us. This was the promise that was given hundreds of years before. Now the fulfillment comes to this young lady. And by the way, she was a virgin. That's why it's a miracle. So the promise was come. You're going to have a son. He's going to be great. And he's going to be the Son of the Highest. Your son, Mary, is going to be the Son of God. Amen. A lot of you love the song. How many of you like the song, "Mary, Did You Know"? I love to stop and think about those things because, listen, a lot of you have been raised up in church. Some of you have been saved a long time, and you read these accounts in Scripture, and some of you have read them so much you just kind of read over it and you go on. But I think it's really important for us to slow down and think about it, contemplate it. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. We ought to ponder these things in our hearts. Stop and think about it. Can you imagine what that was like? She was terrified. She was confused. But at the end of her fear and her confusion, she simply trusted God. Amen. She said, "Let it be to me as you've said. Whatever you say, God, I'm going to trust in you. And I may not understand it, and maybe I'm a little afraid, but I'm going to trust in God." And what a great message for us today. Whatever's going on in your life, you may be confused about, you may be afraid about. And certainly in the United States of America, especially the last couple of years, there's been a lot of confusion. I'm just going to say this. If you haven't been confused about things the last couple of years, you've probably been asleep the last couple of years. There's a lot of confusion. And there's a lot of fear. And there's a lot of things that I don't understand. There's a lot of things I'll never understand in this life. But I do understand this. I can trust in the God of heaven. I don't have a clue, but he does. He knows all things, and we can trust him, and we can, listen, this is the key. We can take him at his word. You see, Mary heard from the messenger of God, and she took him at his word. And that's what we can do today. He's given us his word. Next, the announcement came to a young man, hopeful for his future, hopeful for his marriage, hopeful that God would bless him and his marriage and his life, that God would give him an heritage of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, Matthew chapter 1, and verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The announcement was given. Listen, Mary and Joseph were engaged, and their engagements in those days are a little different than our engagements today. It was basically as good as done. They had a contract, the marriage. They just hadn't gone through the final ceremony that he would go and bring his bride into his home that he had prepared for them. Can I take a little side note here for the young ladies here that may be looking for a fellow one day? Any young ladies looking for a fellow one day? Be all right. Be all right if you waited to find one who had a place prepared for you. I'm just saying. That'd be all right. I really want to jump on that soapbox, but I'm not going to. I'm going to come right back over here and say that Joseph would prepare that place. He would go and get his bride, and he had, by the time these things are happening, he finds out that Mary's pregnant, and you can imagine what that would be like to be engaged to a virgin, and then all of a sudden she's pregnant. You might have some suspicions. And he's thinking about that, because the truth is, under the law, he could have brought her. He could have had her stoned. It had her killed. But because he was a just man, and I think not only just, but he loved Mary. Amen. He was going to put her away privately. He wasn't going to make a public spectacle of her. And while he was thinking about that, God sends a messenger to give him assurance. Amen. Say, don't be afraid. Don't put her away. Keep her, because I am doing a great work through her. And he believed the message of God. And he takes Mary. And so the promise is given to all these people. The silence is broken. Hope begins to pour into the lives of people. Listen, through the word of God. Amen. Hope begins to pour into the lives of people through the word of God. Now listen, I'm not telling you that you need to wait around for a heavenly vision. I'm not telling you need to wait till you have some kind of miraculous dream. I'm telling you that in our age today, we have something better. We have a more sure word of prophecy, Peter calls it. We have the very word of God. I don't need to see angels and visions. I don't need to dream dreams. I have the word of God that I can hold in my hands, and you can too. We have the Bible with us. We can look into the word of God. And just like those people, maybe in a time of doubt, maybe in a time of fear, maybe in a time of wondering, when they heard the word of God, when they heard his message, it poured hope into their lives. Amen. And if the people of God would get the word of God into their hearts, then we could change the world for the glory of God. There was a man who needed hope. There was a nation who needed hope. The nation was hopeful for deliverance from Rome. They were hopeful for freedom. They were hopeful for the Messiah, the mighty one, to come and to save them and deliver them. I think about the shepherds we read about. I wonder what they were hopeful for. As they were in the fields near where Jesus had just been born, they're watching over their flock by night. I kind of wonder what they were hopeful for. If I'm a shepherd, I'm out in the field watching over my flock by night, I'm hoping for good weather. Some of you have been really disturbed by 70s in December, but I'm not disturbed at all. I'd be all right if it was 74 year-round. Granted, I could do without tornadoes in December or any other time, but if I'm a shepherd watching over my flock, I'm hoping for good weather. I'm hoping that the predators stay away. I'm hoping that my flock stays safe and that they stay healthy. In this area, in this place, it's believed by a lot of Bible scholars and some of our friends, Brother Melanson, who does archaeology, he believes that this may have been what's known as the shepherd's field, and their job in particular was to raise up lambs for the temple sacrifice. It may be that those shepherds were hopeful that in their flock that night, that one of those born that year would be the sacrifice for the people. It would be the lamb sacrificed for the Day of Atonement. They might have been hoping for that. I wonder about what kind of hope they had as they sat and they were diligent and they watched over, but I know what they weren't expecting. They weren't expecting angels to appear to them that night. By the way, I just want to tell you, I know a lot of people have different ideas and people dream dreams and have visions and different things, and sometimes I hear those stories, I'm a little skeptical because I see this. Anytime in Scripture when somebody sees an angel of the Lord, they always respond the same way, in terror. Because when the glory of God shows up in the presence of a person like us, there's no response to have but to be terrified. That's why every time you see it, the angel appears and has to say, "Don't be afraid." Because they're afraid. And so the angel appears, they're terrified. And he says in verse 10 in our text, "Fear not. Because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Amen. He tells them not to be afraid. And maybe you're afraid today. I want to tell you that because of Jesus, there's reason to not be afraid, reason to not have fear. He says, "I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy." This phrase, "good tidings," is an awesome word in the Greek. It's the word that we have that we get evangelism from. What he brings them is the word we use when we say we want to share Christ with somebody else. We say that's evangelism. We learn about personal evangelism, how to share Christ with other people. That's what he's telling you. I'm bringing you the good news. There's lots of good news. I heard some good news. Yesterday there was pie. Had pie, yes. That was good news. Nobody's excited about pie like I am. I understand that. Respect that. There were also cinnamon rolls. Can I get an amen from all the Baptists? Okay. Listen, we have some good news. Sometimes there's good news. Some young lady in the church or in our family, they find out they're going to have a baby. That's good news. That's good. That's really good news. Some young man in the church find some young lady that agrees to marry him. That's unexpected, and it's good news. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying, generally speaking, that's biblical. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen. Finds a good thing. And every married man in the room today is thankful for that lapse of judgment that God allowed her to have for a moment when she said yes. They'll spend the rest of their lives wondering what they did to deserve you. Fellas. I don't know. There's good news. Maybe you got good news. Maybe you got a Christmas bonus at work. Or not. I'm sorry for bringing it up. It's not Christmas yet. Maybe it's like Zacharias. You got to pray about that today. I don't know, there's all kinds of good news that we get in this world. But there's a difference between just good news and the good news. Amen. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love this. He says, "Don't be afraid because I'm bringing you good tidings. I'm bringing you evangelism. I'm bringing you the good news with great joy." Amen. And I love the Greek here. The word "great" is megas. Isn't that good? I'm bringing you mega joy. And I just feel like the young people ought to resonate with you. Mega. This is great joy. It's good news. It's mega joy. I'm bringing you great joy today, and it's for all people. It's for all people. The gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Greek, we find out from Romans chapter 1. But I want you to know that this gospel, this good news, was going to be for all people. It's really interesting to me because in the Greek language is a really specific language. And it's very detailed. And there's different words that we have translated people. One word for people means the like you might say your people. Like there could be a word for people in the Greek and it would mean like your community, your people. Your people today would say your tribe. And I'm like 164th Creek, so I can say that. Nobody could be offended. Your group. And so sometimes the word people means like your people. But that's not what this word means. This word means all people. It specifically is saying that it's not just talking about your tribe, your community. It's talking about everybody. It means the people who are like you and the people who are not like you. The people who live where you live and the people who live everywhere else. The gospel is for everyone. And you need to understand what a big deal this was, because this is an angel from God to some Jewish shepherds. And the Jewish people thought they were it. We have Abraham to our father. We follow the laws of Moses. We have the oracles of God. They thought that they were it, and it wasn't for anybody else. But even in this announcement, the angel says this good news is for everybody. It's not just for you Jews. It's not just for you shepherds. It's for you and for everybody else. I think that's a good reminder for Christians today. I think that we get so churchy in our thinking sometimes, we think it's just us. But the good news isn't for inside the walls of this building. The good news is for everybody out there. And I've got great news for you. Just like the shepherds, they went and they heard the word, then they went and saw Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, when they understood who he was, they went everywhere telling everyone about him. And that's the prayer, that's the hope that we have in Christ today, that you today, this morning, would hear the gospel, and by faith you would see Jesus, that you personally would know him by faith. And that when you hear his word and you see him and you know him, then you would go out those doors and tell the people out there who don't know him. Because I want to tell you, Jesus was born and he brought hope into the world. He brought light into the darkness, but he brings life to those who are dead. I want to tell you this morning that I was dead. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. It's interesting when you meet people. I don't know, even today, people treat you a little different when they find out you're a pastor. And most of you that know me know that I work construction on the side. I still do that. And I don't know if you're aware of this, if you've never been on a construction site. It's not like Sunday school class. That's okay. I expect lost people to act like lost people. Right? But it's funny, some guys, even today in 2021, the very end of 2021, some guys, when they find out that I'm a pastor, they act different around me. They'll start apologizing for cussing or blaspheming and stuff, and it's always awkward when that happens. Like don't apologize to me. Like, that's not my name you took in vain. Right? What we want to do is understand that there's a world out there that need the hope of the gospel. And people act different when they find out I'm a pastor, and I don't know when. I'm blessed to be a part of this church. A lot of people in this room have known me for a long time. And I've grown up a little bit. Brother Dean, I said a little bit. Brother Roger? Okay. The reason I'm saying this is because, you know, when you've been pastoring for a little while and people kind of look at you different, and my life's a lot different now than it was 20 years ago. I'm different than I was 20 years ago. But that's the grace of God in my life. He's changed me. But it's grounding, and it's a good reality check from time to time. And I love being a part of this church where people have known me before, and they know me now, because that's a testimony to the gospel of Jesus. You see, when people just know you as a pastor, they don't know who you used to be. Sometimes they see you differently. They think you don't understand, but I'm here to tell you today, I know. I know who I was without Christ, and I know who I am in Christ. He's changed me. And I am not good. There's nothing good about me, but I have a great Savior.
Amen.
You see, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he was born to be Savior, but to be Savior, he had to die. Amen. We're going to get ready to wrap it all up, and I'm going to fast forward in time in Scripture, but the last couple of Sundays, we've looked at some things in the Old Testament revealed in the New Testament, and that's been really awesome. And I want to share with you just one of those accounts. In Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. Now, this is fast forwarding to the time after Jesus has grown up, after Jesus has started his earthly ministry, after he has turned water into wine, he's healed the blind and the lame and the every sickness that there is, raised people to life again who were dead. Jesus performed all of his miracles, preached all of his messages, and he's come down to the very end of his life where he would be betrayed. But I want you to look at Zechariah 11, 12. It says, "And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." Now I want to tell you, before the New Testament was written, I would just imagine the Jewish people studying the Old Testament scriptures, studying this and going, "I have no idea what this is talking about." I mean, just imagine for a second that you don't know the end of the story. Like, what in the world is he talking about? 30 pieces of silver and casting it to the potter. Like, I don't get this at all. But I want you to look at the specifics of the New Testament and the fulfillment that Jesus in his life and ministry and death and resurrection, so many details. In Exodus 21, it tells us that 30 shekels of silver was the price of a slave. 30 shekels of silver was the price of a slave. So that gives us a little insight. But I want you to look to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3 as we wrap it up today. Matthew 27 and verse 3. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders." Now, if you're not familiar with this, understand that when Judas betrayed Jesus, he did it for a price. And they weighed him out, 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave is what he was given to turn Jesus over, to betray Jesus. Okay? And then he repents in the sense of remorse, but not in the sense of turning to God. You need to understand that there is a fleshly kind of repentance. It's like this. Have you ever done something wrong? And have you ever been sorry that you got caught, but you're not sorry that you actually did it? Right? The Judas, don't be confused, because there's Bible words for repent. He repented, but not unto the Lord. He didn't repent and turn to God. He repented that he got caught. He repented that he had done it. But things didn't go the way he imagined in his mind. He wasn't sorry in the sense that it brought him to a place of repentance and faith in God. He was just sorry in his flesh, and it brought him to death. The repentance of the flesh brings death. Repentance unto God brings life. And then he says, saying in verse 4, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. Now just note for a second the hypocrisy and the blindness to sin. They had no problem paying the 30 pieces of silver for blood money. They just didn't want to take that blood money and put it in the treasury. They had no problem paying to kill Jesus. They had no problem hiring somebody to turn him in so they could murder him. They just didn't want to take that tainted money and put it in the treasury. You see the hypocrisy? You see how blind people can be? And we can be guilty of that if we're not careful. And so they don't want to put it in the temple, in the treasury, because it's the price of blood. In verse 7, listen to what it says. They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of them that was valued, of whom they, the children of Israel, did value, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. God's word specifically fulfilling it. Now some of you notice that it says Jeremiah the prophet here instead of Zechariah the prophet. The law, the writings, and the prophets, as the Jews referred to the Old Testament divisions, the Old Testament division of the prophets in the Hebrew canon started with Jeremiah. And so when the Jews referred to the prophets, many times they referred to Jeremiah, and that covered anything in the writings of the prophets. That was the first book of the prophets for them. And so he points back to the writings of the prophets. God's word said that they would weigh out 30 pieces of silver and it would be cast to the potter. And when Jesus was betrayed, it fulfilled the scripture. When Jesus was beaten, it fulfilled the scripture. When Jesus was crucified, and when he gave up the ghost, it fulfilled the scripture. But what I want you to understand today, dear friend, he was betrayed for you. He was beaten for you. He was crucified for you. And all he requires for you to be forgiven and to have life is to believe on him. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting him now? If you are, then you have eternal life through him. It's him. But if you're not, you can trust in him today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. As our musicians come, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And I want to remind you this morning that there's no better day than today to be saved. There's no better time than now to trust in Christ as your Savior. If you've never been born again, I invite you to come and put your faith in Jesus today. If you're saved, but you've not been following him, maybe you've been saved for a little while, maybe you've been saved for a long while, if you've not been following Jesus as a real disciple, I want to challenge you to ask the Lord to help you today. Every one of us, I believe this, every one of us have a next step to take. Maybe your next step is to be saved, to trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe your next step is to be baptized. Maybe your next step is to put off some sin that has a stronghold in your life. Maybe your next step is to volunteer, to serve, to do more. Whatever your next step is, I pray that by God's conviction of His Spirit today, you'll take that next step while we sing.